This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. I'm not afraid. I'm not
afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. See Live Off the Record with Siobhan Golang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, ESC Distributors Limited, Grand Bahama News, the IAAF World Relays Bahamas, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Siobhan Golang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio. 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. 439-3043. So, I am much like all of you who listen to the radio programs. You know, I read the newspaper, I read it online. Sometimes I read it, the physical newspaper. I listen to the news. You know, I'm sometimes able to catch the parliament, and so I listen to what is going on there. And I listen to discussions and talks taking place in the country. So you hear things, you observe things. And as somebody interested in public policy, somebody who's been in public life, very often you're going to listen to the things that are being said and discussed by the leadership of the country, by those who are seeking the leadership of the country, and by people who have an interest in the country and whose voices tend to carry in the stuff that happens in the country. I'm saying this because I need to say something. There is no more dominant player in the public life of the Bahamas than the government. No more. Not the opposition, the government. The opposition does have play as well, but no more dominant player than the government. No more dominant person in the country, in the government, than the prime minister. He is, of course, the head of the government. Every time he speaks, every time he comments, you should pay attention. Not just me, not just you, but people in government, the civil servants and all of those should pay attention, because he is the one whose government it is and whose policies, in the end, is the champion of the policies of the government. And so it is never surprising that through Ingram, from the time he created this platform where talk shows can exist to now, that talk shows, not just on Guardian Radio, but those that preceded it, because there were issues of the day and the Darrell Miller's immediate response and all those shows, what was the dominant topic? What government was doing? I know, because when I was in government, was oftentimes very topical issues. Now, just the other day, for the last couple of days now, the issue has been the demand letter put to the Grand Bahama Port Authority by the government requesting the demand, requesting, demanding that to the government. Okay, we producer, let's take a break, please. Let's take a break. Let me see if I can get this audio together.
To diversify your portfolio, chart a course for RF Mutual Funds, where you can get global returns through our suite of internationally invested funds. Get exposure in U.S., Asian, European, and emerging markets without central bank approval. And with financial services leader Morgan Stanley as the advisor of our international funds, you can benefit from RF's global connections. Set sail for international markets today by visiting rfgroup.com. RF, money at work.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair, you say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want to find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Bring your family, bring your friends, bring your gal. Come witness history in the making at the 2024 Athletic Relays Chase the Sun, Paradise to Paris, happening here in Nassau, Bahamas. Hundreds of the best runners from more than 40 countries will compete for their place in the 2024 Paris Olympics, May 4th and 5th at the Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium. Get your tickets early at worldrelaysbahamas24.org or at the Andre Rogers Baseball Stadium box office.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand.
way. So starting today, I'm breaking out of this cage.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I'm so sorry about that interruption, but hey, you live in this world, stuff happens, right? You can call us today on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. That's 325-4259 from the Family Islands. You can call us on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can call us on you can watch us on Flow Channel, BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. I was trying to say that it is inevitable that most of our discussions you will find, if you're dealing with matters current, will end up being about things that the government is doing or is not doing, and things related to politics, since they carry so much weight in country. And for the last couple of days, we've been talking about the government's demand letter to the Grand Bahama Port Authority, demanding that the Port Authority pays it $357 million within 30 days. $357 million in 30 days. I can't tell you all how many calls I've gotten about that, how many texts I've gotten about, not the shows, about this issue. Shivago, what do you think about this issue? Blah, 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 blah. Well, you've heard me talk about it. And so that just goes to show you how much of a current issue it is. It continues to be an extremely current issue. No more so than the fact that recently I haven't been asked a question commenting about it. And that's what we are going to talk about today. The Prime Minister's response to a question related to whether or not he felt that the government's public feud with the Grand Bahama Port Authority was impacting or could steer potential investors away from the Bahamas. Now, and the Prime Minister said he did not. He said he did not. He had some other words to say. We'll talk about that in a little while. First of all, I am not sure, like, whether or not and how the question was posed. I'm not sure. The article I'm reading in the Nassau Guardian was written by Rachel Spott. And so in the article, it doesn't quote the reporter's question. It only gives the prime minister's response. So, but the article says, Prime Minister, and this is a quote, Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis yesterday refuted claims that an ongoing public row between the government and the Grand Bahama Port Authority will steer potential investors away from the Bahamas. Firstly, I would say this much. If the question put to the Prime Minister was, would your row with the Grand Bahama Port Authority steer potential investors away from the Bahamas? I think that's not the best question at all. Because frankly, I don't see a row with the Port Authority in this particular municipality of Freeport having broader implications beyond the Bahamas, because the Port Authority has a peculiar, unique, was merely in the Bahamas, but in all the world. And so I think investors are savvy enough to particularize that. So if somebody asked the Prime Minister the question, did he think that his row would steer potential investors away from Bahamas? Man, that's the easiest question, I think, in the world for a prime minister to answer. And the answer for me would have clearly been no. No. I would not even oppose that question. If people are suggesting that, I don't see it. Now, if the government did something different than send a demand letter, like if the government just went in there and just passed a law to expropriate to commandeer the port's assets, well, yeah, now you're talking a different set of talk. But to send the port a letter saying you owe me money under a contractual arrangement, which in fact exists, and have that row happen? No, I'm sorry. That would not have been a good question at all. Now, if the person was asked a different question, which was, do you think your public row with Grand Bahamas Port Authority would impact or steer potential investors away from Freeport? Now, that's a more relevant question, for sure. But I don't gather that was what was asked. I don't see that in the story, so I don't know. I wasn't there, you know, but that's certainly a relevant question. Now, the Prime Minister's response to whatever was put to him was this. He said, he refuted it, and he said, we have billions of dollars in the pipeline already agreed to, and more about to come. Okay? That's what he said. He said, if it's going to destroy investors' confidence, why are they still coming? Why are they still coming? Now, if the question is would your public row steer investors away from the Bahamas? Then, and the Prime Minister says, we have lots of investment inquiries coming in. He's right. I mean, like, clearly, the investors are still coming to the Bahamas, right? And so, then he would have to say, well, yeah, I even have investment inquiries that came in since I started this row with them. And so, if he claims that and documents that, then he's right, right? That is so. Now, if the Prime Minister stopped there, there would be less to talk about. But here's what the Prime Minister said. He said, the number of projects I still have on my desk to talk about and to deal with are astronomical. Okay, the number of projects he still have on my desk to talk about and to deal with are astronomical. The challenge is, why is this capital not a free port? Listen now. The challenge is, why is this capital not being attracted to Freeport? The number of projects I have on my desk to talk about and to deal with are astronomical, says the Prime Minister. The challenge is this. Why is this capital not being attracted to Freeport? Okay. Now, firstly, the reason why I found that statement by the Prime Minister interesting was because recently the Deputy Prime Minister of the country, Chester Hooper, was in Grand Bahama at the Grand Bahama Business Outlook. And on that occasion, he touted the almost or more than $2 billion worth of projects carrying on in Freeport. In particular, and Freeport in particular, and he said that in speaking of Freeport, that what was happening was a grand occasion, I think he used glowing terms to describe what was happening in Freeport in terms of investment projects. Right? Now, this isn't something that he was saying in isolation. He was in fact supporting something that you can confirm your own self right this very instant. If you have your computers and you go to Google, you go to your search engine and type in Grand Bahama Port Authority, you will get, I'm sure, a listing for the Grand Bahama Port Authority's website. When you get to the Grand Bahama Port Authority's website, they are going to greet you with these words: to better the lives of the Grand Bahama community, by extension, the Bahamas, through the unique features offered by our island. And if you scroll down, you'll see at first three icons, one for start a business, one for online resources, one for schedule an appointment. But if you scroll down further, you'll see another three set of icons, one for help and support and the one I want you to pay. That's right. He said, Mr. Deputy Prime Minister Cooper said it's a grand future. He didn't say it's a good future, it's an okay future. He said a grand future based on the investments that are in the pipeline or taking place in Grand Bahama. So there are three sets of icons. The one I wanted you to get to is called the investment map. When you get to the investment map, you click it. What is the investment map? The board tells you it's learn more about the investment projects happening in Freeport, Grand Bahama. Now, what is interesting is at the very top of the page, when you click that, you see the words over $2 billion in investment projects approved or in progress. What were the Prime Minister's words when he talked about the investments happening in the rest of the Bahamas other than Freeport? He said they are in the pipeline and under consideration by him, right? And his group. He says the number of projects I still have on my desk to talk about and to deal with, not happening, not in progress, but to deal with, he says, was astronomical. The Grand Bahama Port Authority says they have over $2 billion worth of projects approved or in progress. Now listen, the way things, Grand Bahama Port Authority could not have approved these projects without the government's kudoo. You know, that's the way it works now, right? So the government has to be aware of these projects. And they say over 1,000 plus job opportunities present themselves by virtue of these projects. Now, if the Grand Bahama Port Authority stopped there, then that would have been grand enough, but they didn't. They have a map of Freeport, an actual map of Freeport, and they have
icons for each project that they say is happening in Freeport. So when you go there, you see the BMCL, right? And you can click that icon and it says project, aggregate distribution and manufacturing. And then they give you the company, BMCL Grand Bahama Limited. The investment value, $10 million. Project description, BMCL is an aggregate mining and export company. And it says the latest update approved. See, I mean, they've given you fulsome information about what is happening. You go to a next one, right? And they'll give you the same information. Solar plant, solar power plant. Company, Lucayus Solar Power. Investment value, $15 million. Project description, Lucayus Solar Power is developing the first utility-scale solar farm in the Bahamas. The plant will be able to generate 9.5 million megawatts of electricity when completed. How do I know personally about this one? It's right behind my son's school. So I see it every day, all right? Construction underway at both the Devon and Fairfield sites, right? They have Cocoa Beach Distillery, right? Cocoa Beach Distillery. Cocoa Beach Distillery, investment value, $2 million. And you could go, they have the, you can go on and on. Kinetic Capital Inc., Mango Key Villas. Kinetic Capital Inc. is the company, $2.5 million. Carnival Grand Port Cruise Lines, value $500 million, right? And that, and so you can go on, you can get the, you can get what you call the one now by the Freeport Container Port, which is almost $600 million. Project by Doctors Hospital and all kinds of different, they all have these here. So this isn't Chivago lying stuff. This is all on there. Now, so here's the thing. Let's see if we could get the container port. Anyway, it's somewhere on here. But they have all of them, all these dots. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. Some of the projects are even government projects, like this one, Bahamas International Airport Company, Bahamas government investment value, $200 million. So they didn't leave the government out. They have even the government's projects listed on there. Even Focal is doing a project for $7.5 million, right? So here's the thing. Both the Deputy Prime Minister and the Grand Bahama Port Authority are saying that more than $2 billion worth of projects, or about that, is taking place in Freeport. These projects are not in Grand Bahama. Why? These are in Freeport. 1,000+ jobs to give a grand, according to the Deputy Prime Minister, grand future to the Bahamas. Now, so which is true? The Prime Minister says, why are investors going to the rest of the Bahamas and not Freeport? But listen, but what did I just read you, and what did the Deputy Prime Minister say? Which is true? Is there no investment confidence to go to Freeport? Or is there investment confidence to go to Freeport? These projects in Freeport are not coming. Some of them are happening right now. So I wondered to myself, like, what is the prime? In a way, it's like the prime minister would have been contradicting himself, because on the one hand, he's saying, no, investor confidence in the Bahamas has not been hurt by what is happening. Look at what we have going on. But except Freeport, don't have that. But if Freeport doesn't have it, could you not argue that it doesn't have it public route? Think of that, right? Every place else has it. Freeport does not, according to the Prime Minister. Could you not say, well, maybe it isn't happening because of public route, except we have information that says it is happening. $2+ billion in investment in Freeport? Now, let me tell you something. Anybody who wants to complain that Freeport is not making progress is doing so not on the basis of evidence. Am I saying Freeport is booming? I am not saying Freeport is booming, but I can tell you one thing. Even my mother is more often not, in her room than not. She's not as mobile as she used to be, but even my mother said, you could see, you could tell, and people are saying things are picking up. And that is true. I could tell you that that is true, right? So these projects are not mostly in the pipeline. These projects are flushing out the pipe, right? Not flushing out the pipe in a grand torrential pour, but certainly happening. So which is true? Is investor confidence in Grand Bahama down or is it up? Is the port lying? When the port has this map you could get online with all the details of projects, is the port lying on these companies when they say BMCL is doing something or Coco Key is doing something or Focal is doing something or SGS is doing something or the container port is doing something or the government is doing something, you know, which is true? You can't have it both ways. If the government claims that look at all the investments happening in the other parts of the country and that's that is proof of good things happening. Well, if the port has $2 billion worth of projects going on, how do you say the port isn't doing anything? I would argue something different, actually, if I was the government, based on this information the port has and what the Deputy Prime Minister said. And I'll tell you what that argument is when we come back. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid.
Are you ready for the best of the best? Keep the Vibe Alive Music Group up for sound promotion. And Guardian Radio presents the best of the best Reconscript Explosion Concert. Mark your calendars for May 11th as Super Club Breezes Grounds ignite with Bahamian talent featuring KB, Gino D, Funky D, Veronica Bishop, The Brylanders, Avi, Elon Moxie, and Shine 242.
They know if you like whining.
Join the Falcons, Iron Store, Jovi Pierre, Johnny Cake, Mama D, GLS, Pat Ramis, DBS, and Shad Colley and the VIPs for an electrifying night of music and culture. Tickets are flying, so grab yours now. Available online at BahamasEtickets.com or swing by the Beauty Shack on Soldier Road and Carmichael Road. This is the event of the year. The best of the best Rake and Scrape Explosion at Breezes Resorts. Gates open at 6 p.m. Don't miss out on the Bahamian Magic.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and news sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 329. You can also call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Prime Minister says that that investments in interest in the country is not being hurt by the public feud between the government and the Grand Bahama Port Authority. He says he has lots of projects, an astronomical amount of projects on his desk approved and to deal with. And he says that that is unlike what is happening in the Freeport area. Yet, if you go to the Grand Bahama Port Authority's website, they do tout over $2 billion worth of projects in the works. Approved or in progress, and they give details, list locations and numbers and the company's names and the description of the project on their website. Two, they quote the number of jobs to be created. You cannot at this moment, and never in the history of the Bahamas could you have, it didn't happen under Pinley, it didn't happen under Ingram, didn't happen under Christie, didn't happen under Minnis, and it's not happening under Davis. You cannot go to any map of the Bahamas or online to any map showing what the port shows you. Here is this project taking place on this corner in that location. Click the icon and get the information up. You cannot get that information anywhere in Bahamas, notwithstanding all the investments we are told approved. The last time I think I heard the Deputy Prime Minister was on my show, I think he quoted a number of some $6 billion. Well, for the Bahamas, so $6 billion. So if that included Grand Bahama projects, then the rest of Bahamas is $4 billion. That means that the Grand Bahama Port Authority's investment numbers would have been almost half of what the rest of the Bahamas numbers were in terms of value. Right? And so that's huge. That's huge. But you can't find a map like the Port Authority does. And I have to say, I have to credit Ian Rowell with this, the president of the Grand Bahama Port Authority. He's a younger man who he's a IT person. He believes in data-driven stuff. You go on the port right now, you got to go put your thumb, you fill your information out on the screen and you get in like you would live, you in the modern something. that's my point. Well, how do I know? I've had young people in my youth leadership development program at the port and other areas in Grand Bahama just recently during our Grand Bahama corporate tour. He was gracious in talking to them, pointed this out to those young people, and I was stunned. I'd not seen it before that, right? So clearly the port has stuff now going on, unless this is disputed. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Mr. Lang, good day. How you doing today?
Hey, right here, man. How are you?
I think that's the misconception the rest of the Bahamas getting about Grand Bahama in particular.
Right.
Grand Bahama was never known for a tourist mecca. We was always known as the industrial city. And I think because people are not seeing planes in the airport, cruise ships in the port, or people walking around. Now, mind you, portions of the economy are Grand Bahama's in the slump. But when you look at the industrial sector is holding its own.
I think
the industrial sector can carry in Grand Bahama.
You are absolutely right. And I did a show a couple of years ago where I said that Freeport is a dual personality economy. And just as you said, if you look at the touristic sector, where a lot of people were employed, mind you. A lot of people were employed when it did have robustness, and there was a period when it had robustness, when the Princess Tower, the Princess Resort, Xanadu, and all of those were up and running. If you look at that sector, there's no question it is not there. It's unhealthy. But when you look at the industrial sector, as you said, there's a lot going on there, even though they don't hire and absorb as many people as you would get in a touristic sector.
know, when you look at the people that they do hire, they are high-paying jobs. And
absolutely.
Not just the people who physically work for the companies, now fit from these companies.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So if people were to look at Grand Bahama in a different view from the industrial sector, it's booming. It always been holding its own with interns and industrial.
But you obviously know Freeport. Was I lying when I said things are picked up in Freeport?
Yeah, I would say so. I would say so.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. Listen, you and I, if we lived in Freeport when things were things. It ain't that.
I would agree with you on that. No, let me ask you another question in regards to the Hawksbury Creek Agreement. I'm fully aware that the portion of the Hawksbury Creek Agreement that was extended has to do with real coffee tax. And I was doing some calculation yesterday. Correct me if I'm wrong. Real property tax on properties in the Bahamas is 1.5, right? 1.5.
I think it depends on the value. It's a graded system, so it depends on the value of the property.
Okay, so let's say we look at a house and property value at $400,000, $6,000.
Yeah, absolutely.
As good as right now.
Tell them what service charge on that is in Freeport.
$420 a year is my service charge.
Yeah, $420 a year. Exactly.
And with my $420 a year, every other week, my grass to my corner get cut, the bushes overhanging on the road get cut, the roads are maintained, the stop signs are maintained.
You better stop making these people in Nassau mad. You better hang up this phone.
So when I hear people talking about the government need to take over the Port Authority, that's garbage to me. That don't make no sense. I mean, for me and Grandmama, not to mention, let's look at the licensees. The licensees in Grandmama is kind of high. But let me look at what we get with our licensees.
No. They're kind of high? Why you say that?
When I say it's kind of high, I mean kind of high compared to the $100 compared to a government license. That's why I say
No. It depends. Your license depends on the kind of business you do in Freeport. And so every business don't pay $1,500. If you have a big, it pays $1,500. But there are people who pay substantially below $1,500, my friend. Now, government licenses depends on your gross revenue. Did I lose him? Yeah, anyway. Yeah, so you can't.
Hello.
Yeah. I was just saying, government, like let's say you have a business, like you only pay the $100 if your business falls below that threshold of income amount. I don't know if it's $100,000 or what, but if you earn $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, $1 million, your business in Freeport might pay $1,500 to $2,500. And depending on the nature of your business, you might pay 0.75% or 1%, and so you could calculate what your business license fee might be. In the rest of the Bahamas.
Okay, now let's look at what comes with my business license. I'm now qualified to get my bond license. Now with my bond license, I can bring in everything related to my business duty free. I can bring in my vehicles duty free. I can maintain my vehicles duty free. I can put gasoline in my vehicles duty free.
Yep.
Bahamas don't have that privilege. They don't have that luxury.
Stop making these people mad.
So when you compare Grand Bahama to the rest of the family islands, I can understand why people look at Grand Bahama with jaundiced eyes, because the benefits would be here way outdo the rest of the Bahamas. And unless you're in Grand Bahama, and unless you're a property owner or a business owner, you would never appreciate that. You would never see that.
Well, some islands in the Bahamas can see it when they were declared economic development zones, and they had similar concessions in their areas, and depending on if you're registered under like the Hotels Encouragement Act, the Item 9, some provisions of the Tariff Act, et cetera, there are some benefits that you get in, like in similar to Freeport, that you could get in those areas as well. But you're right. As a whole, there's no place like Freeport in the Bahamas.
One more question about the Salt Creek Agreement. The agreement was signed in 1955. So if we look at 100 years, we should be what, not a
99 years? 99 years.
99
it expires
years. So
in 2054.
Yeah. So another 20, 30 years, the Hawksbury Creek should be expired.
Yes.
So let me ask you a question. Once the Hawksbury Creek is expired, if we renew the agreement, what happens the homeowners, the landowners, the grandmama.
I'll tell you when we come back. Thank you very much. We got to take a break. I appreciate you calling, man. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this news break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-5720. 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So someone was asking what happens when the Hawksburg Creek Agreement, what happens to people who live in the port area, own homes in the port area, et cetera. Well, when the agreement expires, the port area is turned over to the Bahamas government. There was an anticipation, there is in the act itself, an anticipation that some council would be established to assume responsibility for it, but it doesn't really matter what the agreement says. Once it's turned over to the government could operate it as it wishes if it does not extend the agreement. And what happens to property owners will depend on what the government decides. If the government decides it's time for you to pay real property taxes, if the government decides no more bonded vehicles will be available in the port area, then that's exactly what would happen. So you would be subject to whatever laws and regulations the government determines upon assuming responsibility for the port area. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Z. What's happening? What's happening? How you feeling? How you feeling?
Good, man. Good. I'm doing really good. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you calling.
Okay. Before I ask my question, you see, it's another reason why you should go and get your prostate check, Ode. You see, the juice gone.
Oh, yeah, he died of prostate cancer, too?
Yeah, he died of prostate cancer, yeah.
I honestly only just heard it recently, so that's why I didn't take it up, because I didn't know enough.
Yeah, he died. They say he's battling prostate cancer for the last 3-4 years.
So did Martin Luther King Jr.'s son, you know, remember? Oh, he died, too, of prostate cancer.
Okay, yeah, man. So then there's another reason man or dare to go get screened. Yeah, absolutely. So my question is now, if the port don't end in April, and then what happens after that? And then I hear the children, I'm saying, well, they don't mind going to court, the fight and all that. So you know, they're probably being caught for another 30 years, 20,
no, but that's
30
all,
years.
But that's all could happen. That they and the access, what happens if they fall into dispute, you know? It says, the agreement says they go into arbitration.
Right. And then that'll be in court so long, and then so the Bahamas government will have to pay. We'll have to pay.
Well, you'll pay whatever legal fees.
Because you know that'll go on for at least 120 years. Two big time companies like that, you know, that ain't gonna be quick.
Exactly. Well, I said that yesterday or the other day when I talked about it. That's you're exactly right. This could be very drawn out.
Yeah, very drawn out, man. Yeah, man. Okay. Well, boy, all we can do is wait and see now. Wait and see till the end of the month, see what happened between the battle and the Titans.
Yeah, man. Okay, brother. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Peace. The thing about it is, if I were the government, if I were the prime minister, for instance, when he talked about the Freeport investment situation, I would not have the way he did, though. I would have said, listen, Freeport got $2 billion worth of investments taking place now. That's robust. That's good. You heard my minister of Grand Bahama, Ginger Moxie, tout about it in the House Assembly. You heard my deputy prime minister tout about it at the Grand Bahama Business Outlook. It is on the basis of that that I believe that Freeport's future is grand, and therefore the port's revenue shall be even greatly expanded, that I'm saying we now need to invoke that clause in the agreement that calls for them to pay for some expenses we incur in that area. that don't sound better? than disputing what two of your ministers said is happening in the port area, and then perhaps contradicting yourself in making an argument that the port ain't doing so well because your row with the investors are keeping investors from coming. I mean, like, what else could be keeping investors from coming to Freeport? Somebody tell me. From here. These texts, it says, oh my God, these current investors won't believe they are already in. That is just nonsense to cover this. You can no way think that this won't affect it. And why would he hold up investments as we know they are doing, says this person. I have to tell you, the government, that there aren't any few people, and there aren't any few people who might know, who have told me that process of investing in Freeport has been greatly slowed down because applications have to go to Nassau, to the Bahamas Investment Authority, before the port could approve them. I disputed that on my show at one point, but I subsequently learned that that is true. I mean, I subsequently learned that is true. Actually, that's what I learned. Prior to Ingram, it was true that before the port could actually enter to an investment application, it had to go to the Prime Minister's office in Nassau, prior to Ingram. When Ingram took office, he stopped it. He said, no, you just tell me what you have done, because that's the way the agreement is set up. And then I've learned since that time, I believe even the Minister's administration did it. You know, even the Minister's administration practiced this, I think, where the government had to have a say before the port went on, but that can slow things up for sure. This text says, good afternoon, sir. It is amazing now that the government asked the Grand Bahama Port Authority to pay money that they owed. Everything is good in Freeport. I too live in Grand Bahama, and I could say things are picking up, and the majority of Bahamians are judging Grand Bahama economy by the sale of the hotel. Sir Lang, sir, in my opinion, you are speaking out of two sides of your mouth. On one hand, you're saying the government isn't wrong to go after the funds owed to us. Now you want to play with words and say the Grand Bahama Port Authority is doing a great job. Let me tell you all something. I sometimes wonder what you all are listening to, some of you. Really? You know what? I'm not even going to answer you. I'm going to let people answer you, because if any of you heard me say that the Grand Bahama Port Authority is doing a great job, please text me exactly what you said. If any of you believe I'm talking on two sides of my mouth on this issue, please tell me. Tell me what the two sides is. If this person here must obviously have a B in their bonnet for me, because I'm reading all their texts before. This is what they do. Come on, man. Listen and do. My point is very clear. Prime Minister says one thing. His deputy prime minister and his minister says another thing. The Grandmama Port Authority says something different. That's what I'm saying. And you draw from that. I am saying the port has done a great job. I don't smoke. I can tell you that much. I don't smoke. I don't know what you do, but I don't smoke. Let me read these other texts for you. This text says, Lang, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, worrying about getting money from the port, not getting help from OTEC base. Okay. I'm sure what that is. His text says, great show as usual. Say, stop making the people mad. Too late. We done mad from, he said he could bring in car duty free, and then he said he couldn't maintain it free. You might as well put a cape on me because I super mad. He didn't say that. Let me explain something to you. What happens at Freeport? If you're a resident in Freeport, you cannot bring in a car duty free. That's a nonsense. That's not true. I have a car in Freeport. My car cannot be bought in duty free. And I've had cars in Freeport. I've not none of them bought in duty free. Now, if you are a licensee of the port, so your business, a vehicle in what we call conditionally duty free, which means that it's being used for your business purposes. It can only be used in the Freeport area. You can bring that in bonded. If you get found outside the Freeport area, they will charge you and make you pay custom duty on that vehicle because it will no longer be bonded. If your business operations cease and the customs department is informed, you will then have to pay the duty on that vehicle. So it is not true that this is what is happening. So don't read that what that gentleman said that way. He did not say that. This text also says, as usual, just let the government do the job and take over the port area. That would be the worst thing ever. Says, who they think will invest in Freeport and they don't have an airport, the investors would have to be a frozen conch. Well, you know, the thing about Freeport is, I told you before, so you have to be fish or fowl. You have to decide what is true. If it is true, as Deputy Prime Minister Cooper says, as the Minister for Grand Bahama says, that billions of dollars in investments are, in quote, now coming into Freeport, then are they not coming into Freeport under the same Oxbow Creek Agreement that we said is an issue and a problem, under the same Port Authority principles that we said is an issue and a problem, under the same set of operations in the port area as we said was a problem and an interest issue? See, remember now, the government's fight, the current fight, the previous fight was about the port living up to its responsibility. That's what the Prime Minister talked about even in his statement yesterday, the port living up to its responsibility. But this current fight is, I want you to pay me the money you owe me. That was what the Minister of Foreign Affairs said. Pay me what you owe me. I come to collect. Pay me what you owe me. So this fight is about, you owe me money. I want my money. But in having the fight, Prime Minister was asked something, and he said that investors are coming to the rest of the Bahamas, but not to Freeport. And I am pointing out that his deputy prime minister and the minister for Grand Bahama and the Grand Bahama Port Authority says $2+ billion worth of investments is taking place in the Freeport area. The words, the port doing a great job. What I said is, if the port isn't doing its job, how is $2 billion happening in the Freeport area? So the government could say, I did that. I went and flew away and bring the people in, not the container port. Not Royal Caribbean. We know how those projects came about, right? The solar project, no. Shipyard, no, right? So that's what the point that I'm making. If your politics gets upset, I'm sorry. Just pointing out the contradictions in the statements that were made. His text says, Mr. Lang, I heard you suggest how the PM should have spoken. Way to school them. Better yet, get back there and get the job. No, bro. No, I'm serious. I'm just saying, like, honestly, the prime minister could very well have said, you know, on the basis of all the investments taking place, on the basis of the grand future that Freeport has, et cetera, we need and want to invoke now this clause. But it's kind of weird if you're invoking this clause for people to pay money in an area that you have said is not getting any investor confidence compared to the rest of the Bahamas, because obviously that would mean they broke and busted. Well, if they broke and busted, how is paying $357 million possible in 30 days? Possible? Right? But if you get $2 billion of investment going on and more investments coming, then maybe your trust moves and maybe we could start talking about your fulfilling that provision in the agreement that you haven't fulfilled and we didn't call on you to fulfill for almost 70 years, if that's the argument. This text says, Mr. Lang, don't respond to that text. That person does not live in Freeport at all. No, that person live. I don't know where they live. They live in political land, I can tell you that. So thank you, Mr. Lang. I don't know what they listening to. It's baffling. Please don't waste time with answering them. I have learned so much in the last hour. Please don't waste precious time. It will be 4 o'clock in no time. Man, I skip everybody a hearing, but I ain't waste too much time, no. Say, is it correct that the port obligation is for fees that exceed the amount of taxes collected on behalf of the government? If this is correct, that would mean the government must have spent more than $500 million in the city of Freeport. Please help me with this. Now, you know, you don't want to mix apples and oranges. Well, let me see. Let me make sure I understand you. Okay. So what the government, you might actually be right. Not spent. Yeah, you might actually be right, actually. I'm sorry. You might actually be right, if I understand you correctly. So let's do the math. The government says, so this is how it works. The government says, you have to pay me back what I spent. So let's call what I spent A, plus 20% of A. And you have to take what that A plus 20% away from the revenue I collect in GB. So let's call it GB revenue. And so you're saying when the government did that math using Pricewaterhouse, it came up with a figure of $357 million. In other words, Grand Bahama revenue minus government expenses plus 20% of that plus 8 times 1.2, so that's 1.28. GB revenue minus that is equal to $357 million, right? And you are saying that on the basis of that, the government had to have spent more than $500 million. And well, close to, for sure. More than $500 million for sure. Close to. I agree with you. You wanted something there. We had to spend a lot of money, which we'll see if, you know, if we could get the report, we could get some more information. So let's see. All the government workers here. Remember, these are but expenses here and 20 plus 20%. So all the government workers here, of the $600-700 million in salaries, what do you think that is for Freeport? You think Freeport is 30% of that? 30% of the $600-700 million is almost like $200+ million. So out of the Freeport area, the government must be collecting hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue. That's for sure. Right?
that says, "Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Thank you for educating us." I try my best. I try my best. I'm trying to help, but thank you very much. I appreciate it. So I think that I'm not, I'm gonna make the same point that I made before. I think that the government should avoid some of the impromptu discussions that has had on this issue, because and issues like this, because of how heavy they are. So, you know, if you're prime minister and you ask these questions, you may want to consider, you know, I will make a this later on, so bear with me. You have the luxury to do that, so that maybe some of these other impromptu stuff don't get done, and they can cause some challenges if people are listening, you know. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Good, and congratulations to you on your 7 years. And of course,
thank you, my friend. Thank you.
I had texted yesterday asking, what was the government's expenditure, or what is the government expenditure or expenses for, Freeport, or is the government is responsible for the whole of Grand Bahama, right? And so does the port responsibility extend beyond Freeport for the government's expenses, or is it only...
Of course, I spoke about that yesterday, so let me give you an example. Don't hang up. I'm going to give you an example. Let's just take the medical services. If you have a really bad accident in East Grand Bahama and an East Grand Bahama resident or West Grand Bahama resident, where do you think they have to go?
They have to go to the
Rand Memorial Hospital.
Okay.
So your people there at the Rand are servicing those people in East and West Grand Bahama.
Right. Similarly
with customs officers, similarly with immigration officers, etc.
Yeah, but I mean, but they are coming into Freeport, and they're not going out of Freeport.
No, but the point is, you have custom officers who are the government is paying for, mm-hmm. all of whose jobs is not merely to deal with Freeport.
Okay.
So I'm saying you then now have to disaggregate the portion of their expense mm-hmm. that's attributed to dealing with stuff outside of Freeport, or is this the stuff in Freeport? Because why are you asking the port to pay for all this stuff when some of it you would have had to do anyways because you have people in East Grand Bahama and West Grand Bahama?
Right. I mean, so this is something, and again, the question is, does the government spend $200 million a year on expenses in Freeport?
I think so. I think if you add everything up, I think if you,
you think
add
so?
Up...
You mean...
Yeah, I think
And their responsibility, because, I mean, according to what you read in that clause 15 or whatever it was that the government would have been responsible for housing and salaries and whatnot.
Yeah, which it is for some of these officers, like customs officers, immigration officers, teachers, and those who are sent here. They are housed, the judges and stuff, they are housed and paid for by the government.
Right. And that you think is $250 million a year?
I think it's fairly close. Okay. Fairly close.
But I mean,
you all have to remember that the biggest portion of government expense on your behalf is salaries of workers.
Right. And that I think came to almost $800 million or something. I mean, I can't remember what the budget.
Yeah, it's about $700 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can't believe that Freeport only accounts for 10% of that, right? That'd be $70 million. That 20% of that would be $140 million itself.
Right. Okay. But we know that the bulk of that is really NASA. I mean, New Providence centric.
But we understand that. But seriously though,
You don't think 20% of salaries are government salaries in Freeport?
Yeah, I mean, I could see 20% or 25%. Right. But
well,
you know,
20%, 25% is almost is 140, almost $200 million.
Right, right. But now the government to me is asking for $270 million.
No, they're asking for $357 million.
Right. I mean, over a 5-year period. So you're looking at additional if you're saying 200, so in essence the government is saying that I am spending close to $300 million a year. I'm only getting $200 million a year back, and therefore you owe me an additional $250 million. That's how I am thinking about it. Because if you think about it,
but it doesn't matter how you normally thinking about it, because what the clause that they invoke tells us how they are thinking about it, which is exactly as you say.
Right.
I am paying X amount. I am collecting Y amount. You therefore owe me Y minus X amount, and that's right. $350 million over 5 years.
And so the government just need to show, audited statements or whatever it is to prove that this is that. And then if that is the case, then the port will have to pay up.
Yeah. Okay. Unless the port gets an arbitrator. Arbitrators or the courts to say, oh man, you haven't done this for 17 years and you think it's reasonable for you to come right now and talk about doing this?
Yeah.
Unless they get somebody to do that.
Yeah, but unless, of course, for the first 50, 60 years, the revenue exceeded the expenses of the government for the most part, Freeport was booming for a number of years. So in that
but it doesn't matter what happened in those years. If any of those years you thought you were owed money, you had a responsibility, not even thought you were owed money, you had a responsibility to build the port for 70
right.
years.
Right. So obviously what I'm saying is that they felt that they were not owed any money for those particular years.
But you can't say they felt broke, because for 10 of them years I was there.
So
you,
I mean,
you didn't feel that. You didn't feel it.
Did y'all at any time build the Freeport?
Never.
Because
never.
Why?
Because I'm saying to you is don't tell me we didn't do it because we were thinking. That was not true. We didn't do it. We didn't do it just like nobody before us did it.
Okay.
It wasn't
okay.
A question of we weren't thinking, well, they should get more from them than we pay. It wasn't even on the radar to do it. Now, it came on Ingram's radar when the real property tax provision concession expired, and he didn't invoke that clause so much as to say, okay, administratively pay me $500,000 a year for 5 years, and then after the 5 years, yes, let's review it. So again, if I'm Prime Minister Davis, I'm going back to the port and say, listen, you agree with the government. See, because we keep treating this like it's Ingram and Davis. No, the government and you agreed in 5 years' time to review the matter. So I am now coming to you as government and saying we have passed the 5 years. We have a duty to review the matter. I want to review the matter. And in that review, I may be billing you because my numbers tell me you owe me some money.
Okay, so now the port now has to decide, as you said, you say I say.
This ain't no you say I say. It was in the Grand Bahama Development Act.
Right.
In the act, this exists.
Yeah, but Mr. Lang, I understand that. But I mean, if it was clear cut, as you say, it shouldn't be a dispute, right?
Well, it is a discut was in 5 years we would review it. That means me and you can sit down and talk about it and review the amount you were supposed to pay and what we're going to do going forward.
Mm.
That's what should have happened.
Okay. Okay. Well, anyhow.
Thanks
for your time tonight. All right.
Anytime, my friend. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this break.
Why settle for an ordinary burger when you can indulge in the new Farmhouse King at Burger King Nassau? Sink your teeth into two juicy flame-grilled beef patties piled high with crisp bacon, American cheese, crispy onions, a fried egg, and a spicy mayo sauce that adds bold flavor to every bite. Enjoy the new Farmhouse King as a combo with fries and a drink. Or if you're feeling extra hungry, try the King's Feast, available exclusively at Burger King Nassau.
If you're looking to diversify your portfolio, chart a course for RF Mutual Funds, where you can get global returns through our suite of internationally invested funds. Get exposure in U.S., Asian, European, and emerging markets without central bank approval. And with financial services leader Morgan Stanley as the advisor of our international funds, you can benefit from RF's global connections. Set sail for international markets today by visiting rfgroup.com. RF. Money at work.
The excitement, the fierce competition, the entertainment. On May 4th and 5th, our Bahamian athletes will compete with hundreds of the best from around the world to secure their spot in the Paris Olympics.
Gardner takes the title.
Come witness history as our athletes chase the sun from paradise to Paris at the 2024 World Athletic Relays. May 4th and 5th at the Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium. Get your tickets now at worldwide Andre Rogers Baseball Stadium box office.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Back, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join me here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. And these, if you want to call us, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Excellent show as always. Continue to educate us for another 7 years and more. You never fail to make sense of these matters, nurse. Thank you very much, ma'am. Okay. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Minister. So happy and thank God for you educating us. I don't want to find out from you. I ain't sure what quick pro quo, if I pronounce it right, quick pro quo mean, right?
Quick pro quo.
A little bit what I understand about it. If it have anything to do with the reason why, let me put it this way, the government did not request or demand, I mean past governments, didn't request or demand the payment, and what I mean, and I don't know if that's how if they have to request it. I mean, if the port had something for the government, any reason why they wasn't paying it on time, and generally, I mean, basically, the question is.
Let me ask you a question before you go to your next point, proper.
Yes, sir.
If would you pay a bill if somebody didn't present you with one?
Yeah. If I know I owe something, you ain't got to present me.
No. It's not a question of owing, because you remember what the agreement says is that if the revenue you collect as government is less than the expense times plus 20%, then you got presented with a bill. How would I know what revenue you collect in what area is, and how would I know what your expense is?
Minister, I'm moving from your question. I ain't sure I can answer that, right? But tell me something.
Right.
Why would it be so complicated and confusing? These, like the big port authority, right? That's smart people, the government, right?
No.
Listen to me carefully. Yes, sir.
Who is collecting the taxes in Freeport?
Must see the party. I born over
No, man. The government ain't gonna let you.
I didn't know. I ain't too much know about the port. I born over there, but I ain't know too much.
Okay, so if you, but you know how taxes are collected in Nassau, right? Who collects taxes at the airport and the port?
I believe the government people, eh?
Exactly, right? And who collects the revenues for the insurance and all those kinds of things, fees? The regulators collect the so if the government is collecting its taxes, how would the port know how much taxes the government collect if the government don't say so?
That's sad, right? So since we get the opportunity to ask you and being around the table and could educate us, right? Why would they let it go so far? Why would the port?
Because I simply believe that government of the Bahamas just remember now this was signed in 1955, right? 1955. You went through majority rule struggle. You went through independence struggle. You went through trying to bring up a government or a thing them around. Mm-hmm. You had a row between you and the port. I just don't think anybody focused on it.
You serious?
Yes, I'm telling you, I just don't think so. Except.
Uh-huh. What about that thing that I asked you, what I think I know the meaning is quick pro quo? That ain't had nothing to do with it?
No, because I've been there, Papa. I was Minister of State for Finance. I ain't no quick pro quo with nobody.
Just help me again. What that meaning? Quick pro quo.
Quick pro quo means I do something for you, you do something for me.
Well, in the port for years, when they have these general elections, it's contributed to these political parties.
Yeah, but that didn't result in this though. But even though let me say.
Yes, sir.
It may well be
quid pro
that
quo.
No, not quid pro quo, but it may well be that satisfaction that things were happening in Freeport and the place was generating lots of jobs and business opportunities could have had the government satisfied that we were getting out the port deal what we needed.
Still boil down to that. Maybe I know what quid pro quo meaning, but I hear you.
Because quid pro is a malicious backdoor dealing that I do something for you and you do something for me.
It sounds like that because for all of them years from 57, like you saying, these educated people, the government people and the poor people, I know you said the poor couldn't pay nothing unless they know what they're supposed to pay, right? They was contributing and helping these political parties and stuff like that, allegedly. Or over the years, you used to hear them talk about the wine and the Don Perry on and all that stuff. I know that wouldn't be enough to do
you
that. But for from 1957?
If you think that's what did it, over all these generations, go ahead. I mean,
I ain't going to think that. I can listen to what you say. I just know, like, if they have something for the government, they should pay the government. And if the government...
No, but I can't... Papa. No? The government cannot have you pay it. I will not pay taxes to the government if the government don't assess the taxes for me. But I can just walk inside there and go, look, yeah, I can pay you $1,500.
Oh, so when the government need to come to the table and assess the taxes and allow them to pay it, right?
That's what the government has done now. The government says, I have assessed the situation over the last 5 years and you owe me $357 million.
But,
and it's so now,
they're trying to
make them pay that in 30 days. And so again, the port cannot say, this is not something you are entitled to do. Because under the Hawkesbury Creek Agreement, it is entitled to do that. Mm-hmm. And the port is entitled to look at it and say, but I don't agree with your numbers, and here's the reason why. And they could have an argument and a dispute and take it to arbitration. So the government has done nothing wrong.
I think you still be over there in Freeport, Minister. Tell me something. Mm. The people, the majority, but it might be so affected that everybody feeling it. You think the majority of Bahamian people agree with the government telling the port after they done assess, like you say, the right way to
absolutely
do it the right way?
Absolutely so.
Huh?
Absolutely. The majority of people in Grand Bahama and probably some people in the rest of the Bahamas agree with the government going after the port.
Yeah. And listening to...
Now there are licensees of the port and others who don't agree with this method or manner of doing it, but there are lots of people who agree with the government going after
Minister,
the port.
Fred Mitchell is making a lot of sense. He's a very educated man, right?
Very
I listen to him sometime, right? I wonder... This is a dumb question. Excuse me, please. I wonder if it was poison. I hear him talking about support Prime Minister Davis, right? But I wonder if Fred Mitchell has something personal going on with the port, or he's just fighting on the rights of us, the Bahamian people, and we should shut our mouth and satisfy and appreciate what he's doing. I can hang up and listen. Keep up the good work, Minister.
Thank you, ma'am. Well, I don't want to speculate on what motivates any minister for what they do. You just listen to his words. I mean, and like I said, the other day he spoke and he sounded cogent. He sounded, rational. You know, I had some disagreements factually with some things he said, but I mean, as a case to be made for why the government was doing what it was doing, I thought he made a very clear statement, and I think they should make more such clear statements like that, whether people agree with them or not. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a final break. Final break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Trivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody. Everybody. Come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
Living with a neurological condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From epilepsy management to specialized spine care and brain tumor surgery, we're delivering world-class neurology care for the day to for every care in the world. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/Caribbean.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I ain't marched the car. The lady run into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Trivago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 Thursday afternoon. So glad you could join us today. Let me say, in the interest of clarity, that the government presenting the port under that clause, a bill for monies, it says the port owes for some 5 years to the tune of $357 million is not wrong. It's not something the government is doing that's illegal. It certainly is shocking to the port, for sure, and shocking to lots of people who just like kind of would think it came out of the blue. But it is not wrong. It's not illegal. It's just now, I think, largely disputed. Right? We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We'll be listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
On your 7 year and 12 year. This is sad to me. That all them London trained lawyers didn't read the fine print on the contract.
No, I wouldn't say that was so. Everybody knew what that provision is there.
It say the port shall pay the reimburse the government.
No, sir, you know that is not what it said.
That is not what it said.
It said the government shall present to the port a report of its expenses plus 20%, and the port shall pay. The government should do that annually, and the port shall pay within 30 days of being presented with that report.
I'm saying
that's what it says.
It is simple wording that the government didn't follow.
Exactly. The government did not do it. Did not.
It is simple wording. The government shall present you with a bill. Now, I don't blame the port for not paying, because Johnny presented them with a bill.
Exactly.
But that was what was required. And everything else. But the government ain't billed them. It's like
exactly
I'm going to rent
right.
your house out, but the people living there 50 years now, they live rent free. So now the timing going to be a problem. You let
right.
me go back, you let me live there, but 60 years, eh?
70
years now, and you ain't pay me, you say you won't pay me now, that could be a problem.
Not only pay me, you can pay me for 5 years back.
So, but now, see now, Pricewaterhouse is a big accounting. They examine the government books, what government spending over there in Freeport. I mean, the Port Authority walk away with billions of dollars from the 60s when Howard Hughes was playing there, Maya Lansky, they made money that the public treasury didn't get.
No. You cannot make that argument, because the only way you could know that to be true is if the port was, if the government was spending more in the port than it was receiving in revenue. And in the early days, that was absolutely not the case.
But I'm saying it wouldn't be as much, but let's say they spent in fine, let's say $100 million.
Yeah,
like,
but you're talking about many. Yeah, but again, though, this is an accounting This is an accounting that's being made. You don't know that to be true. This is what the government says. You don't know that to be true.
I'm quite sure the accounting for it, like at the government books.
Brother, let me explain something to you. Accounting firms make mistakes. Accounting firms have been taken to court. Accounting firms, let me ask you a question. You remember Enron?
Yeah, but they were in the jail.
No,
they
yeah,
did Enron have an accounting firm? My brother's one of them in the States. He ain't going to jail for nothing.
Okay, bro. Thank you, man. I appreciate you calling. I hear you. Listen, I'm clearly not saying Pricewaterhouse made a mistake. I'm clearly not saying Pricewaterhouse is bad accounting. I'm just saying, just because an accounting firm comes up with a number doesn't mean the number cannot be disputed, because even accounting firms sometimes end up having to revise prior things because they have instructions and they also have parameters that are provided that help them to come up with whatever assessment they want. So for instance, an accounting firm says, well, I see that you have a customs officer who makes $38,000 in Freeport. And so that means I'm going to put that to the government's expense. But I just said, does that mean that custom officer doesn't deal with people in East Grand Bahama, West Grand Bahama, Abaco, or other parts of the Bahamas? And why is that expense going to the port? Right? So those things could be considered, and the accounting firm might not have thought about it that way. So don't give me this story about, oh, the accounting firm must have. Accounting firms are not perfect. Economists are not perfect. Lawyers are not perfect. Doctors are not perfect. And all of them been put in court before and demonstrated and shown to be wrong. So give me that. Ah, boy. So Mr. Lang, you teach me something today. Quick pro quo? No, it's not quick pro quo. It's quid, Q-U-I-D. Pro, P-O-R, quid pro quo. Y'all got me mixing up now. quid pro quo. Q-U-O, yes. Quid pro quo. So it's quid Q-U-I-D, pro, P-R-O-Q-U-O, pro quo, a favor or advantage granted in return for something, right? That's what I said. It's getting something for something. All right? I told Papa what it was when he called quid pro quo, and that's because you are going to, you all went ahead and messed me up, right? I think that this is a very interesting case for the country. I told you yesterday, I don't believe any in accounting firm of any repute like Pricewaterhouse would put its neck on the line for nonsense. So they would have done their work in accordance with international standards, etc. And it is not improper for the port to now say, okay, I see what you presented. Let me let my own people check this out and let me show you where we differ or think you differ and so forth and so forth. But just because you present me with numbers don't mean that I'm going to accept those numbers outright. That's even one of the reasons why very often if you have an acquisition of a company, you might have one company with an accounting firm that does an assessment and another company with the accounting firm that does an assessment and their evaluation, and you know, then there you go. When the government of the Bahamas did its the accounting firm do its assessment of the value of BTC, you know how many people disputed that, including accounts who disputed it, but these were who evaluated the firm? You know, still disputing that. Yes, quid pro quo is Latin. So you scratch my back and I can scratch yours. See, that's why I was trying to tell Papa. To me that ascribes a nefarious intentionality, and I don't believe that that's what existed. But Papa is suggesting to some degree that it may well have been. This says, Mr. Lang, there's only one person behind the Port Authority saga and government, and that's no other than Fred Mitchell. Trust me. Okay. This text says, Mr. Lang, I don't think PM Davis thought this through. When Carnival opens next year, along with the shipyard and all that make up this $2 billion, what are they as a government to campaign on next election? That's very interesting. And would the Port Authority be there? But what be there? And if so, why? To say what? You instrumental or not? This text says, I'm quite curious about something. The government is saying that the money owed by the Grand Bahama Port Authority is owed from 2018 to 2022. Does that mean that they were paying before 2018 or no money was owed before 2018 and after that? That's a very good question too. Now that does not mean what that means, but the suggestion is, I'm invoking this clause under the obligation, and I'm going back 5 years, but I'm not going back further than that. Maybe I don't have the accounts or whatever, but that's a good question. This text says, A Z-Line, have we examined the doctrine of past performance with respect to the government's demands? On that basis, this will be a losing issue for the PM and for Mitchell. Yeah, I call it reasonable expectation. If that's what you mean by past performance, reasonable expectation. This text says the port has no say in who the government deploys to Freeport, nor how many, so that part cannot be enforceable. That's very interesting too. That's very interesting that, because who says I didn't give you a job for political reasons or bloated the number of people that, you know, that's a very interesting point. Do I need as many immigration officers, customs officers, police officers, social services people, etc.? That's a very good point. Excellent point. In Texas, Mr. Lang, the port is not going to pay that amount demanded by the government further. If it goes to arbitration, it will linger until the next general election. Of course, the port ain't going to pay it, not in 30 days. And the port If the port could find $357 million in 30 days, the government of the Bahamas could find $500 billion in 30 days. This tax as we're selling is so amazing that no government check for the taxes from the port, but needle eye on the small man. So, and that's not a bad point. But a lot of taxes the small man don't pay in the Bahamas, though. So don't go there. A lot of taxes. A lot. Well, let's go there. The good day, the people agreeing with the government is fine, but is the government right in its assertion with regards to the GPPA? It's right that there is a clause requiring a certain thing to be done. There's no question about that. Is it right in this billing? That's a different story. Very different story. Says negative connotation. Yes, quid pro quo oftentimes has a negative connotation assigned to it. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us. God bless you. He spares life. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Take care.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever.